I'm Alan Chase from the Otaku Generation Podcast, and you're listening to Ninja Consultant.
Hi, this is Paul Shushuk from Otaku Generation. I'm at the Art Room in Otakon, and this rules.
You guys said the dealer's room sucks this year?
Well, yeah, the dealer's room did blow. The artist alley is actually a lot cooler. So, yeah, next year at Otakon, check out the artist alley, especially the Ninja Consultant table. Get lots of pins and stuff. You know, give this girl money.
Okay.
Just want to say your name and stuff too.
Yeah, I got that. Thank you. I do a show ID. Hi, this is Bryce Winer from the Otaku Generation Podcast, and you're listening to the Ninja Consultant Podcast.
Right.
Is that good? Why is that?
How's your time? How's it been at
Otakon? Time's been great. Highlight definitely was yesterday at the AMV contest, being in the finals for the first time. So that was pretty crazy. I was the golden boy one with hot heat. I had a throbbing erection. The crowd didn't really like it as much as I would have liked. You know, I got a groan, but you know, I thought it was funny. Well, I wanted to zoom in on it, make sure people knew what it was.
The crowd doesn't like a throbbing erection.
Oh, I got a big laugh. Right. Yesterday's screen got a big groan. Like apparently the.
You get random pumps. But yeah. Your throbbing erection.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I mean, I knew I wasn't planning to win or anything, but just being in the finals is what the amazing part is. I could care less if I win an award or anything.
Nice.
But that's. I guess about it. I don't have anything else to say.
All right, so this is Zoe, and she has the table here at Artist Alley with me. And she's been doing really well. With her goth clothes stuff.
Yeah, it's gothic Lolita stuff, and it's called y-couture.com.
But it's been selling amazingly well. Have you guys sold out of tons of stuff?
Yeah, we have about 1/3 of our merchandise left, so
and
that's
it's like,
good.
Yeah, it's like Saturday afternoon, so.
Hopefully we won't have to do this tomorrow, so I can just avoid getting hugged instead of staying at the Artist Alley.
Avoid getting hugged.
Actually, it's been a pretty good Otakon, because I so far have been avoiding being glomped, so that was pretty awesome.
I think, that's a really ugly one of those. I think glomping on the whole seems to have died out. Someone asked me if they could hug me in the dealer's room. It only happened once. Nobody recognizes Nasuka that much.
Aww.
It's sort of like, you know, a few people have, but it's kind of like, there's a guy dressed as a Tetris piece, and everyone's played Tetris, so he gets all the love.
Well, that's kind of a sad commentary on fandom, that they don't recognize Nausicaa.
Yeah, you should have seen all of Miyazaki's works, people.
Yeah, come on now.
Princess Mononoke alone is not enough.
You owe it to yourself, or at the very least, you owe it to us.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
But the Ninja Consultant kids are very good roommates, so I appreciate that quite a bit.
Yay, for our hotel room.
Yeah.
The Sheraton this year is kind of fancy and overpriced, but super close to the con.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and we also had a fabulous hobo escort home the other night,
really?
Which is nice. Yeah, we were we hijacked some paddle boats, and we were going around pirating other paddle boats and boarding them and taking them over. And then when we walked home, we were escorted by a very nice hobo gentleman.
He was like, "I'll walk you home."
No, he was more harassing us, but. That's
really,
okay. We're New Yorkers. We can deal with
that's
it.
A stalker.
Yeah. Yeah, he was more of a stalker than an escort.
Oh, hamsters.
What?
Hamtaro characters.
Ah.
But not as good as, like, these 6-year-old boys who were dressed like Hamtaro characters last year.
So the best cosplay I saw was the copy ninja. It was a guy dressed in a Kakashi outfit, which is pretty good, but he had a Kinko's apron on and, like, work clothes like a Kinko's employee, and he had a little badge that said Kakashi, and it was Kinko's copy ninja.
Nice.
He's my favorite.
That is really funny. I didn't get that. It's pretty good.
Oh, I guess that's all I have to say.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
the Viz panel, only there was no Viz panel because Viz has completely punked out on Otakon.
Are you serious?
I was suspicious when I went to the dealer's room.
Sorry,
what?
Oh. Can I interrupt you?
No, yeah,
no,
okay.
Don't worry.
We can edit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought I saw Professor Snape, but
no,
I guess
it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Snape.
Can I sit here for a second? Anyway. So, I was suspicious when I went to the dealer's room earlier today, and while Tokyo Pop had taken over almost the entire licensee, whatever the hell, professional section of the dealer's room, you know what? Viz wasn't there at all. And I was thinking, this is suspicious. As I thought Viz was supposed to be giving up bags, comics, whatever,
yeah,
no.
They have pretty good books.
They weren't here at all. There's no Viz at this con. I think that their plane got hijacked.
Wait,
maybe they were.
Did you say they punked out on their panel?
They punked out. They're gone. They're not here at all.
So no panels, no giveaways, no dealer's group.
They are completely absent from Otakon, except in spirit.
Do you think, wait, where is Viz? Is it on the West Coast?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I suspect so. Anyway, they all are.
I noticed that some East Coast companies did not go to the West Coast for Anime Expo. Like WYSIWYG's is a store out of Ann Arbor, so I guess of course they wouldn't. Ann Arbor, Michigan. So of course they wouldn't really go to the West Coast. But Central Park Media, they used to be a big company, but they didn't go to Expo because that's too expensive for their shitty ass.
But see, this isn't Central Park Media. This isn't even Right Stuff. This is like Viz, which
is huge. Yeah, it's like
the
big four
manga publisher. Yeah. I mean, like, Tokyo Pop is like a young upstart next to Viz. Viz has been doing this since the beginning of time. Dinosaurs read Viz manga, and yet they were not at Otakon this year. And I'm thinking, is it that Viz is falling apart at the seams, which would suck, because goddammit, they better finish with Kenshin before they fall apart at
the
seams.
That's what this is really about.
Because I want to read volume 28 of Kenshin with a decent translation. I don't want them to fall apart. I can't have some kind of, like, useless, drunk hack of a Viz finishing up my comic. After that, they can do whatever the hell they want.
It's really weird.
But I'm really disappointed. I was really looking forward to the Viz panel, because the Viz guys were always really nice. But no, Tokyo Pop, super slick, all over the place, Viz totally not here.
Yeah.
So I'm really sad. However, now I'm going to go back and sit at my art table once again.
How's your button selling going?
Button selling is going okay, except that I grossly miscalculated. Because you see, I posted on my live journal all the buttons that I had, and so the ones that people really liked and made more of. But of course I forgot. You know who reads my live journal? Harry Potter fans. You know who's here? Not Harry Potter fans. You know what I should have made 8 million of? FMA buttons. You know what sold out yesterday?
My FMA
buttons. Anyway, that's all I got to say for now.
Oh, hey. Are you also supposed to be awesome. Asuka? Nice. Wait, okay, so since I'm recording, Allison, you should talk about the Fullmetal Fantasy nonsense.
The Fullmetal Fantasy nonsense was great for a variety of reasons. I'm not going to retell the story, which all of my roommates have heard, but they're just going to have to suffer through it. It was great because I actually am too silly to have remembered to ask Erin, do you have any idea what Fullmetal Fantasy was? Because if I'd asked her,
I would have told you.
She would have told me that it was, in fact, the parody made by Vic was his name. Who does the...
I have a big ego.
Yes, Vic, I have a big ego, what's his name? Who does the voice for Edward Elric and in fact looks much too old to be adored by 12-year-old fangirls everywhere.
He's really old, but he really wants their love.
Yeah, he really wants their love. And it's also hilarious because in the fan parody he acts as if he is in his early 20s. But let's move on from that. It took a very long time for it to actually start because they actually ended up switching to another DVD player. That is how extreme their problems were. But in the meantime, they had to keep the audience of, you know, several hundred insane fangirls, many of which were cosplaying, busy while they got the DVD running. This variety of things happened. For a while, the audience entertained themselves by chanting various things that made no sense. At one point, they started chanting, "Alchemy! Alchemy!" At which point, a man dressed as Scar stood up and started shaking his finger in their direction, which, while extremely silly, was spontaneous enough that it was hilarious. And then he sat down after an appropriate amount of time, so it was all good. And then they got a little bit more desperate, and they said, "So we're gonna have this girl come up, and I'm going to wait till Derek's done opening noisy packages." I guess the mic isn't that great. Anyway, so they bring up this girl, and they said this girl is going to sing the new English translation of the song Brothers from Fullmetal Alchemist. Now, if you're familiar with Fullmetal Alchemist, you might remember a song sung in Russian by a very, very, what sounds like a 10-year-old boy, which sounds very beautiful, but you have no idea what he's saying because it is in Russian. And I it's like, you know, da 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 da, that's enough. Anyway, so you get the idea. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Only it's in Russian. So they finally had a translation. He said, we're going to have this girl sing the translation. This girl was dressed as Havoc, incidentally. And that was great. So she stood up, and as I said before, it felt like I was standing on a razor's edge between extremely embarrassing horror and something that would be really awesome. And to my complete surprise, it was super awesome. She sung the entire song all the way through. She was not even remotely embarrassed, so she had like the confidence to actually sing it properly. Halfway through, she apparently got some phlegm in her throat and said, excuse me, I have some crap in my throat. And coughed for a little while, at which point all the fangirls screamed, then stop smoking, ah ha 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 ha. And then she started singing again and sung for another minute or two, and it was awesome. The audience was dead silent the entire time. She had a beautiful, very well-trained voice. The song was great. The lyrics were non-embarrassing and quite touching. A tear was brought to my eye when they were sung about, you know, beautiful mother, soft and warm, or soft and sweet, or some other adjectives that, honestly, I was like, yes, their mother was beautiful, and now she is totally dead, and is quite sad. But it was great, and there was a standing applause that I felt like, this is why people bother coming to Otakon, because some woman dressed as Havoc will stand up in front of a crowd, sing a song that had been translated for Russian, a cappella, while cosplaying, and this will change your life. That's why you go to Otakon. That was my Otakon moment. It was great.
You're often walking the razor's edge between extreme embarrassment and something that's really awesome. That's always the possibility at a con. Things could almost always go in either direction.
Although sometimes when things go to extreme embarrassment, it's fine as long as you're outside of the blast radius.
If you're far enough away from
shrapnel of shame will hit you in the face.
If you're far enough away from ground zero, you won't die.
Mutilated by that shrapnel.
You won't die of radiation poisoning.
The only other thing I have to say about the FMA panel is I have been forewarned by my friend Aaron here that not only does this Vic guy completely fool himself, he's fooled himself to the extent where he'll make you sit through, like, his giant blooper reel, which is, in fact, the same length as the film, which is kind of impressive.
There are no bloopers withheld.
Yes. No, it's quite shocking.
It's just all this footage.
But what's hilarious about this is I feel like I came to a greater understanding of how much my friends and I are sometimes really not in touch with the average fangirl, that as I was walking out of the room, once the film had finished and people had given him his standing ovation, and he was, of course, lapping it up like a dog! But after I'm sorry, I'm being yelled at for waking the neighbors. Anyway, that as I was walking out of the room, the fangirls started chanting, unprompted, outtakes! 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 They wanted it, Aaron. They were begging for it. You know, I don't think they cared. I think they just wanted more of an excuse to scream a lot! Because, oh my god, Vic! You're such a hot 40-year-old guy! Oh my god, do you do your roots? Anyway.
Wait, so what did you think of the actual film?
The actual film was funny, although having been to film school, I have to say that I was acutely aware of the fact that he had a lot of money to shoot this film, because the typical things that you see in amateur films weren't there. I think the thing that really struck me, among all of the bizarre, like, you know, visual effects and the alchemy and all the other shit, what really got me was the fact that when this bus goes by, he gets splashed with water, and I'm like, there was so obviously a rig to splash him with water, because the bus would not have actually, there's no way they could have gotten the bus to actually do that. So not only did they probably get that bus, like rent the bus and to drive it by for like 10 takes, but they also had some guy rig up a splash of water to hit him in the face. And you know what? A film student would have been out there with a hose refilling that ditch. And trying to get the bus to splash. I know. Have like a bucket refilling the sidewalk.
At the end, he rented rain towers.
Yes, he must have rented rain towers because nobody in costume was actually wet at all. So it wasn't even obviously like a cheap ass rain tower either. It was like a real rain tower. So I was like, man, he is just. Also, like, did you see his house?
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's clearly, it's not like a real fan parody. It's clearly a professional film. It's just, it was very, like, it was kind of disheartening in a way that, like, he obviously felt like, this is my project that I did. I'm so cool. And I'm like, you know what, man?
He's somehow connected, he thinks he's somehow connected to the original work because he's dubbed the English voice.
This is why.
He kind of is in that way that he had to watch a lot of scenes over and over again. And I'm sure, you know, he can like it as much as the next fan, but he feels some kind of weird ownership there that, I don't know.
Well, this is why I don't go to the voice actor panels, because, you know what? As much as I don't care a whole lot about what the Japanese voice actors might have to say, I really don't care what the American voice actors have to say. I feel like Winry has a deep hole in her heart that needs to be filled by Ed, but instead she fills it with automail. You know what? I don't care. Like, there's nothing, I mean, you know, really, actors, who cares? Like, I seriously don't understand why anybody cares so much about what the American voice actors have to say at all.
I don't know either.
Anyway, that's all I gotta say about that. I'm sorry, my Scott is suggesting that perhaps I am getting too loud, so I'll get this microphone.
Well, I'm only concerned. I don't care if you wake up the neighbors, but if you max out the levels, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a funny thing that happened in the elevator just before my room key failed to work, where there were two groups of people. There was a group of four friends and an older woman who looked like she was someone's mom or something. And so the four friends were talking about how earlier there had been some kind of false fire alarm and all four elevators had stopped, and so people had to take the stairs a long way. And, you know, they were like, oh, it sucked and blah, blah. And then the older woman says, in an amazing sort of Australian accent, she's like, oh, I know, and I was stuck in the elevator, but I was stuck in the elevator with Edward Elric, and it was all right. Implying that it was totally hot for 2 hours. So she implied that it was like this totally hot Edward Elric cosplayer. So it was fine with her to be stuck in the elevator for 2 hours. It was awesome.
If it was a male or female Edward Elric.
She specified male.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to word the sentence in a way that's not extremely awkward. And I couldn't figure it out. But as soon as she got off the elevator then, because she was getting off a different floor than everyone else, then the four people who were left were like, oh my god, that was awesome! Wasn't her accent adorable? And they're like, that was great. She looked like my mom. Yeah. She thought Edward Elric is hot.
I wish that my mom thought that Edward Elric was hot. That'd be awesome.
That'd be interesting.
Like, if I came home from vacation and mom was like, oh my god, I saw the new FMA. So hot.
That would be good. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
That was the other thing that happened at the FMA panel, is that apparently in between the parody and the voice actor panel, they were going to be screening the, oh my god, episode 27 of FMA.
It's
and I'm like,
halfway through.
And I'm like, I've already seen that episode, but there were clearly many, many people in that room who had not ever seen that episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, the show has gotten very popular for reasons that have nothing to do with why I originally watched it. Oh well, I guess that's what being on Adult Swim does.
Wait, isn't it? What? Why? Well, oh, because the characters
there were many, many people there who clearly were at that panel because they had seen it on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And were really excited about seeing episode 27 because they had clearly never seen it before because their exclusive access to FMA was through the official license.
Now for a segment I like to call My Life with Family.
Where are the Cheetos?
Shut up. They're right next to you.
So, yeah, how do I explain the Yaoi panel fiasco? So, a friend of mine and I went to try to see the fan parodies in Video Room 1. And Video Room 1 was completely filled, and the doors were shut, and irate guard-type people were blocking them. So, instead, we're like, what can we do? Blah, blah, blah.
Video 3, actually.
Oh, yeah, well, whatever. The big video room. So, we couldn't go to see the fan parodies, so we decided that we would go check out the Yaoi panel. And if you don't know what Yaoi is, I'm not going to tell you. That's what Google is for.
We'll make Derek tell
anime, you know, like nurses and robots and shit. And he was right. So anyway, I really like it. So we were like, let's go see the Yaoi panel. So we went, and the Yaoi panel was completely full. And it was so full that it was overflow from the Yaoi panel had spilled out into the main auditorium area. I don't know what you call it, like the where people come in to register, this giant, the atrium. Yeah, and this huge, you know, maybe 10 or 20,000 square foot space with lofty ceilings, and everybody's wandering through there. And so it was Yaoi Panel 2, which was like run by this guy who was totally awesome, who had a white t-shirt that he had used iron-on letters like that you can buy from Target or something to say, Inuyasha is the worst show ever, on his t-shirt. And he was leading the Yaoi Panel. And Yaoi Panel 2, unlike Yaoi Panel 1, which apparently had actual speakers and an actual agenda and actual things that were happening there in an order, Yaoi Panel 2 was more like an angry Yaoi lynch mob. So basically they were like cute guys with walk by. So this was mostly women. They were all sitting down on the floor of the atrium, this giant space which was totally not for loud people screaming and having a fake panel. And they were sitting down on the floor of the atrium, and it was like 400 girls. Well, I'm being hyperbolic. It was more like 50 girls and maybe 30 guys. And they were all really loud and really horny. And so anytime like a hot guy would come by or something, they would like shriek at him and potentially grab him and drag him over and be like, do you like Yaoi? And sometimes they would like try to run away and like be horrified and stuff. But sometimes they'd be like, yeah, I like Yaoi. And they'd be like, yeah! Basically like disrupting and traumatizing everyone in the entire 20,000 square foot space. And then some girl walked by and she's like, I like Yaoi too. And they were like, yeah! It was totally egalitarian. That's what was awesome about it. It was like, it doesn't matter if you have five heads. If you like Yaoi, they were going to cheer for you in a really egregious manner. And so this woman walked by, and she had handcuffs. And they were like, handcuffs! Yeah! And they grabbed the handcuffs, and they were handcuffing some guy who at first resisted and then later started to play into it. He's like, I don't know what's going to happen to me. We're like, that's the point. It's just like a manga. So anyway, two friends of...
Manga.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the problem. Everyone knows what's going to happen in the manga, except for this guy, apparently. Unless you're the protagonist, in which you don't know what's going to happen. Even as someone handcuffing you, you still don't know. So, anyway, two friends of mine from New York were there, and they were dressed as bondage fairies. And so it was our idea to go to the Yaoi panel with these guys dressed as bondage fairies and thereby get like 400 women to shriek at them, which would be amusing. And so anyway, it exceeded my wildest expectations of bondage fairies shrieking. So basically, they showed up and they in the back, and the guys who were leading the panel, and there were a bunch of girls too, who were all equally boisterous. They saw these two like mostly naked dudes walk up, and they just like, look at that! What's going on? And then, like, it was, like, in slow motion with a Chariots of Fire theme playing. Like, all of the women in the audience and the men in the audience, like, all of their heads turned around and stared at my two friends. And then there was, like, this supernatural shriek that emitted, like, ah! Like, a fangirl shriek. And it was deafening. And then they were dragged to the front and they were having some sort of bishi auction, like a bishonen auction. And they were like, two more guys for the auction. And they were having them. They're like, what about, like, this guy, name withheld, is available for the evening. Who wants him? Ah! But then it was so chaotic that they never ended up auctioning them off. So... And yeah, eventually all the sort of shrieking and caterwauling and people standing on chairs, bellowing with Inuyasha t-shirts on, was all broken up by security, who told us that we were being disruptive, quote unquote. And I guess attacking straight guys and handcuffing them in a room full of screeching gay men and fag hags is very disruptive. Whatever, I don't think so. What, disruptive or? Yaoi. Yaoi Cat Girl Lynch Mob. That's pretty awesome. That's my new band. You didn't know? We have costumes. You can only imagine.
It kind of reminded me of something else that happened at the FMA panel, though.
Anyway, that's my story. The end.
It's your new visual K-band. You have the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
the general contact information if you're listening for the first time. Check out our show notes at ninjaconsultant.com. You can also friend us on LiveJournal. Our LiveJournal name is Ninja Consultant. You can email us at ninjaconsultant@gmail.com.
If you, you know, don't have anything else to do.
Our theme music is by Analog Lights, a division of Giant Spider Inc. For more information, email Steve at giantspiderinc@hotmail.com.